Blog Talk Radio.
Information the league has to offer. You know, hopefully the plan is to come at you at least once a week going forward. So, as you can see, over the last, I guess, 4 or 5 days since we last talked, we've had a lot happen. We've had an official offseason come and go. We had our re-signing of our own free agents, as well as our own free agency and the draft. So it's been a very busy last 2 days. And I guess today's show, you know, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about, you know, who I think kind of won and, you know, who kind of lost in terms of the offseason, who could have done more, who could have done less, you know, and kind of evaluate some of those deals that were signed in the offseason. Additionally, I'm going to talk to you about a few new things around the league in terms of new setup. I just want to make sure people, we communicate that to people because there have been some changes that will need to be discussed in going forward. That's where I'm going to start with you today. So, one of the things that I've been looking through and everything else is making the league more interactive and a little bit more user-friendly. So as you can see, when you go onto the new revised website, we've changed around the format in terms of giving you now news stories instead of basically day-to-day updates on games. I don't think many people are interested in that. So we've kind of made it now story-based, and we're going to try to focus on different league stories. And I'm really interested in you try to give me and kind of bring me new ideas and new stories you have about the league. So even if you want to write an article about your team or an exciting trade that just happened or a free agent signing or something that's happening in your team, maybe they're in a skid or they're on a winning streak, please do write an article. Send it to the league email address, which is simxfootball@gmail.com, and I will post it and I will put it on the website and give you credit for writing the article. And that way it gives just people more things to read and interact with in terms of the league discussion. So I hope you do take me up on that and do decide to do that. So with those new articles, you know, we've had some also some changes to the website itself. We've updated the power rankings. As you can see, I spent quite a bit of time making those individualized power rankings, all 32 teams ranked at the beginning of the preseason. So I hope you enjoyed that read, even if you didn't agree with it. Again, there is no bias there. It's just how I saw teams either moving up or moving down, depending on the offseason moves they made, and not just strictly based on what happened at the end of last season. Because, you know, things do change from year to year. You know, I don't expect certain teams to miss the playoffs again. Like, I wouldn't maybe expect some teams to make the playoffs again, potentially. So I kind of, you know, put that in mind when I was doing those power rankings. I hope you do enjoy that. Additionally, I've actually made a Twitter account for the league, the SXF Insider, at SXF Football. I will be posting to that from the Twitter page. It'll basically give you insider information about maybe giving you a heads up on which trades or free agents, maybe signing with teams, as well as league news from the league office will all be posted to the Twitter. So you should be seeing that Twitter handle come up more and more around the league. So if you want to break a story before it happens, maybe you got a trade brewing and you want to send me that inside information, PM me that information. I will hit up Twitter and I will post a tweet, whatever hashtag you want, and kind of get people excited about the moves or whatever you're doing in the league that very week. So I hope you are excited by all those changes. I think there could also be more changes coming down the line to make the league way more interactive, way more exciting. I got a few things up my sleeve that I'm talking to their mins about, so we'll see how that goes. But I am excited for what is to come and, you know, the changes that are coming down the pipeline. Okay, so moving on, let's talk about the off season. It was a very quick few days. Diego made it a point to get the off season done with quickly, and that was obviously very evident. By how fast we managed to complete the off season just a mere weekend. So looking over things in the in free agency, we'll kind of go over a few teams here and there. So when looking at the free agency, we got to start with, the Raiders. Now, the Raiders had a very aggressive offseason. As you can see, there's a league article about it. They signed 14 new players in free agency, plus the players they drafted. So, they got potentially 25 new faces coming into camp this year. Half their roster has been turned over. So this is not the same Raiders that ended up missing the playoffs last year. They added up Joe Barksdale. They added up, who was that? Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. So that pickup in itself is going to be a huge addition to the team. Barksdale's one of the best offensive linemen. The Seahawks ended up cutting him just because, it just didn't make sense to pay him what they were paying him. Even to retain him. So they ended up letting him walk, and, it's the Raiders' game. So Raiders signed him a 7-year, $70 million contract. So, he's going to be making big bucks in order to protect that right side of that Oakland Raiders line. Cromartie's got maybe 1 or 2 years left, before he's going to really kind of tail off. He signed a 1-year, $16 million deal. So it's a smart signing. It's no risk. He's still playing at a good level. So the Raiders made a great signing with Cromartie, even though he's 30 years old. He's still going to deliver for at least one season and get the value out of that. So that is definitely a very good move by the Raiders. Looking else down the line, we had teams that, also had a very exciting offseason, and, for good and bad. One team I definitely want to start with in talking is the Seahawks. Now, we just talked about one of those Seahawks players that was let go. Barksdale, he was let go. He's no longer on the team. That's a major right tackle, a really talented right tackle that's no longer on the line. Now, granted, Seattle drafts well. They find talent in free agency every year, and, they make them great. So I'm confident they can replace that right side, but, it's pretty amazing they can let a player like Barksdale walk and not think, anything of it. They can just let him go and be done with it. So it's pretty quite amazing when you think about it. They also let Marshawn Lynch walk. It's no secret they tried to re-sign him after letting him walk because they didn't like the contract they were giving him. He ended up walking and going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Marshawn Lynch, beast mode, is no longer a part of the Seahawks organization. It's going to be weird not seeing him under the middle for the Seattle Seahawks any longer. And that's going to take some time getting used to. But, Russell Wilson will probably have to step up. They might change their offense a bit. Or, who knows? You may actually see Christine Michael really step up and be a force. Or maybe it's Gregory Pugh who could end up being the future back. So only time is going to tell there. One Seahawks signing I loved was Easton Marsh. He is a receiver, very speedy receiver. The Seahawks locked him up to a very friendly 7-year, $15 million deal. I think that's a signing that will pay dividends, considering, that offense and that receiving core that they've got already set up with all that speed. So I think we could be in for a very exciting year at the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks, though lost some key players, I think they have the talent to, to kind of obviously be just as good as they were last year because of their depth. Moving on down, talk about the Steelers. Got to talk about them. They signed probably the best quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, in Aaron Rodgers, who was let go kind of surprisingly by the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers automatically makes the Pittsburgh offense, a lot better. They finished 15th in the league last year. They're now probably, a top 10 offense for sure, maybe better. So we'll see what Aaron Rodgers can do with that team. They also brought in Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch is obviously a dynamic runner still. He's got the trucking. He's got the ability to stiff arm guys. He can get between the tackles with a good fullback. He can still run the ball. Yes, he's slower, but I think he's still somebody that could do a lot of damage on that team, especially when he's not the main piece. It's clearly Aaron Rodgers' team, and, they're going to use Marshawn Lynch as a complementary piece. So I think that could work nicely for the Pittsburgh Steelers at this point. Moving along, other teams had kind of, other big moves that needs to get some recognition. The Kansas City Chiefs, you know, made shockwaves a little bit when they signed Peyton Manning to a contract. You know, the last few years, Jude Blair has been the quarterback. He's been, you know, labeled by Kansas City fans as being somebody, you know, who misses all the easy throws. He can't be trusted late in games. And so it looks like Kansas City fans, you know, got their wish. They got one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game, a former five-time NFL MVP in Peyton Manning, under center for at least 1 year after sitting out the last two seasons since retiring from the Denver Broncos. So that's an exciting signing, definitely for those Kansas City Chiefs. Staying within that AFC, you got the Ravens. Now, the Ravens had a very quiet offseason. They did let go of one of their premier cornerback, Webb, and, you know, they let him walk. They didn't feel he was really providing the same kind of ability he was for that defense for those consecutive years. So, you know, that's somebody that, you know, when you look at the roster, you go, you know, that's somebody that's hard to replace. We're not sure what basically they're going to do next. Again, moving along with the AFC, you had a lot of teams that kind of stayed put. You know, the Patriots did absolutely nothing. Coach CB is quite the talker, but, you know, he really did nothing in free agency. The Patriots remain, you know, with a lot of holes. So you got to think that they were a team that, you know, really lost that on free agency because they really needed to address some key positions. So, you know, when they fail to, you know, find appropriate players to kind of step up and, you know, sign those guys to make an impact on the roster, you know, that really sticks out with a team like the Patriots that has so many of those glaring holes. Moving on, got to talk about the Jaguars. Jaguars had a very exciting offseason. They signed Mackenzie Wade, who was that, you know, troubled running back who was in drug rehab. You know, in drug rehab, he kind of found new meaning in life. He kind of found a new passion. He actually converted to a receiver. So Mackenzie Wade will now start at receiver for those Jacksonville Jaguars. It's kind of an exciting move because you don't know what he's going to be. He signed a massive contract at 5 years, $32 million, you know, but he remains very unproven, so we're not sure what he to make. Another big signing for those Jacksonville Jaguars was receiver Nerion Norris. Signed a 3-year, $12 million contract. There were about 5-6 teams that were after him hard. He's a speed receiver, can hit the slot. He's not very big, around 5'11", but he looks like he can gain separation quickly in the slot, and he could be a force in that Jaguars offense behind Ronquese Burns, who was the first overall draft pick, a receiver, selected by the Jaguars. So, you know, you got to like what the Jaguars are doing this offseason. You know, they're making moves quickly. They're establishing themselves as a force. You know, so I like the moves the Jaguars have made this offseason. I think that they're stepping up. They're finding ways that they can be competitive and certainly make an impact. Another team I like to talk about is definitely the San Diego Chargers. Now, the Chargers, you know, have been a team in turmoil. Their last coach did an awful job with personnel, did an awful job putting talent, you know, on the offense specifically. And, you know, it showed for those four losing seasons. Now Coach Lucky takes over. Coach Lucky coached the Eagles previously. He is now somebody that the organization feels can get the team on track. You know, they had a decent free agency, but, you know, what they really accomplished more than anything else was their draft. You know, they had a pretty successful draft. They found their quarterback in the future in Gary Grayson. You know, he's going to be the starting quarterback for those Chargers, and he could be a guy, you know, that looks back on the draft and people say, wow, he might be the quarterback Gary Grayson. So we'll have to see what the Chargers, you know, do going forward, but I do like the moves Lucky has made in making that team more competitive and just a better overall look. Another team I got to talk about were definitely the Buffalo Bills. Now, the Bills are coming off a really disappointing year in which they finished 8-8. They missed the playoffs after making the playoffs, I believe, the two previous years. So, you know, it's a very frustrating time to be a Buffalo Bills fan. But the Bills made some very strong moves. You know, they ended up signing Zach Miller to a 1-year, $6 million contract. They brought in Calais Campbell, the defensive end. He will come into the team, so you got to expect he's going to make an impact. Stephen Tulloch has been brought in, the middle linebacker. He's going to obviously be a great asset to that running game, the defensive running game. be able to plug the middle, stop the run. So I really like the moves the Bills have made. You know, they had a pretty good draft too. They drafted a nice kicker by the name of Juwan Briscoe, who looks like he could be a future future All-Star, you know, future Pro Bowl kicker in this league. One guy everyone really likes is kind of Brandon McFadden. He was a guy who was troubled in the draft, has an injury history, but, you know, has great athletic ability. He's somebody that I kind of like as a steal also in that draft from that Bills draft class. So you got to watch out for those Bills. Moving on to the NFC, you know, the Cards had a draft that was, you know, relatively quiet. They landed some decent players. You know, I like Kiefer Boswell. He could be quite the quarterback for them, you know, down the road. I like that he might be a guy that can be step up in terms of being a quality starter in this league for years to come. So I do like what the Cardinals have done. Have they done enough to really improve to beat the Rams, the Seahawks, the Lions consistently? I'm not sure yet, but, you know, the Cardinals are certainly on the upswing. And, you know, if had they made a few extra, you know, big free agent moves, I think they could have made that upturn. But it might be, you know, still maybe one season out before they really make their big jump, if you will. Additionally, you know, I got to talk about the Packers. Now, the Packers are a team that were left in a little bit of disillusion. Their coach jumped ship. He ended up walking to the Redskins. You know, the Packers organization was left to pick up the pieces. They've now brought in a quality coach who looks like he's got the team figured out. The organization looks ready, you know, and basically pointed, you know, in the right place, essentially, to make some positive moves going forward. As I talked about, you know, on the website, you know, the latest articles, you know, we've talked about, they had a very strong draft. I really like Dondi Payne, their defensive tackle. I love the Alvaro Ajala. He's the right guard they drafted as well. He looks like he could be something. You know, they also drafted Doug Baldwin. Looks like a kind of a talented receiver. Sorry, they also signed Doug Baldwin, you know, who could be able to come in and plug. You know, just on a three-year deal, just to come get some veteran leadership, catch some balls across the middle. So I do like the fact that Doug Baldwin was brought in. He's an underrated free agent pickup, in my opinion. But the big move for the Packers came with Jamarcus Cain. Now, Jamarcus Cain is a big-time receiver, big guy, 6'4". He has great physical tools. He was one of the most sought-after free agents. At one point, he had 9 free agent offers. He signed a 3-year, $12 million deal with the Green Bay Packers. He looks like he could be a dominant receiver in this league with the right coaching and you know, the right organization. Maybe the Packers can provide that to him. You know, they certainly brought in a new quarterback with Brock Osweiler, who was with the Steelers the last 2 seasons, as a backup. So he's now thrust in the starting role. You know, they basically swapped out Aaron Rodgers for Brock Osweiler. I know it's a money thing, but, you know, I don't think you're going to win in terms of personnel when you switch out an NFL MVP for an unproven backup. Yes, he's got a cannon for an arm. He's 6'8", but so we're not sure, you know, what the Packers are really going to become yet. Lastly, I'll talk about the St. Louis Rams. St. Louis Rams, very quiet free agency, kind of did their business, resigned some guys. Had a very quiet offseason, did their draft, had an okay draft. But, you know, basically they're building upon their depth, which is such an asset for the team. They're so deep at running back. They just traded away Eddie Lacy. You know, they're a team that is deep at all these different positions. And you got to look at the Rams and say, wow, I love this Rams organization and what they've done from the coaching level, the GM level, the owner level. This organization is really at the apex, the top of the top, when you talk about organizations. So, you know, you got to like what the Rams do, even if they do have a quiet offseason. Moving along now, I do want to talk a little bit about the season itself. Now, the season just kicked off yesterday. We had our first slate of games. You know, some exciting finishes, some surprises, if you will. You know, the first game I'll kind of touch on, we're going to go through. The Vikings came out. They beat the Packers. Now, I got to say it's a pretty big deal. I just talked about the Packers and how much I like the team, but, you know, the Vikings had a new coach. He comes in and wins his first game, 29-22. I personally thought the Minnesota Vikings had one of the worst rosters in SXF and in SFX, SFX. But, you know, he managed to help turn this team around for at least a week and give them a win in the win column. So maybe the Vikings are going to end up being better than, you know, first thought this season. So let's see what happens there. And what is probably going to be our game of the week, you know, the Cardinals and the Lions squared off first week of the season. The Lions won a close one, 14-11. It was a tight game. It was an exciting game from start to finish. You know, looking over the game, you know, quarterbacks, you know, were very quiet in this game. No quarterback threw over 194 yards in this game. There were five total interceptions, only one passing touchdown. So, you know, a very, you know, very controlled offensive game. You know, it really wasn't that exciting from an offensive standpoint, but, you know, the defense came out to play with five interceptions. You know, it was exciting from start to finish. There was only one sack, but you could see the defense was really out in full force. And, you know, despite Arizona losing, you know that they're going to rebound and they're going to bounce back. But, you know, it's good to see Germ come out and get his first win of the season and kind of get back on path, kind of going back to that Super Bowl after falling short last season. Moving along, the Browns took care of business, beating the Chiefs. You know, that's a game that, you know, it's not really a surprise. You know, the Chiefs are a very good defensive team. Looks like they had one additional restart. So I believe the Chiefs were winning the first game and there was a disconnect. So I'm not sure what that would have been if that game had continued. But regardless, the Browns won the second game. So they're now on top 34-13 in that victory. Moving along, the Raiders bounced back. As I talked about, they got about 20-25 new faces this year. They came out, beat the Tennessee Titans 25-17. Very exciting to, you know, start for the Oakland Raiders after struggling much of last season. My biggest concern with the Raiders is the interceptions. I thought maybe it could curb, you know, with Derek Carr in his fourth season, but, you know, he still threw three interceptions. Yes, it was three less interceptions than the Tennessee Titans threw when Terrell Pryor threw six. But you got to hope that, you know, Derek Carr gets things under control and, you know, he starts to play better football, because, you know, if they end up, you know, throwing three interceptions a game, they're not going to win many games. So hopefully they can dial that back a bit. Moving along, you know, the Chargers and the Bengals squared off. The Bengals won 14-7. You know, it's a battle of two teams that you maybe not expected to do too much this year. They're kind of rebuilding, taking over new rosters, so we'll see what happens with both of those teams going forward. Another game, Jets, our AFC champion of last year, came out with a big 48-23 win over the Miami Dolphins, who I think are one of my sleeper teams. I think that they might not make the playoffs, but I really expect the Dolphins to be much improved this year and, you know, to maybe win some of those close games that they lost last year. The Jets are led by premier running back Nicholas Dawson. He was out for the whole postseason. It really kind of showed in that Browns loss. You know, he's back now. Yeah, he got 23 attempts and 185 yards on the ground and a touchdown, 8 yards a carry. So, you know, Jets fans are excited to see him back in the lineup. And if he's running, you know, the whole league's going to be put on notice, because those Jets are dangerous when Dawson is running between those tackles on the outside. Moving along, Redskins, Saints. Washington comes out on top, 23-7. You know, it's a good start for the Washington Redskins after being in turmoil the last few years. It's good to see the Redskins get back on top. Moving along, we got the 49ers taking out the Broncos 20-0. The 49ers defense held the Broncos to just 128 yards, including 98 yards passing and forcing three turnovers. It was complete domination by the San Francisco defense. And I think this is a team you got to watch out for. I was talking about the San Francisco 49ers in the power rankings, finished fourth last season, but, you know, they were good enough to finish as the number one team in the AFC South, how they play in that division. So the 49ers are talented. They're in the best division probably in the league. But, you know, if they can continue to put up defensive performances like they just did, you know, they might have a shot this season. Looking down the list, we got the Falcons and the Buccaneers squared off. The Buccaneers took home a 21-16 victory. Not much surprise, two division rivals, the Bucks really have the number of the Falcons last few seasons. So it kind of went the status quo. But, you know, the Falcons are improving, so maybe they can win that rubber match next game. The Seahawks, you know, took care of business, absolutely thumped the Eagles 42-10. No surprise that Tigers offense ran through the Eagles, and, you know, I think that's going to be happening a lot this season for those Seahawks. Lastly, our defending Super Bowl champions, led by Coach Call Me the Guy, spanked the Bears 27-10. You know, the Rams couldn't really do much on offense, and the defense stepped up a little bit, got a few big turnovers when they needed to. They forced four turnovers, you know, despite giving up 349 total yards and only having 208 yards of offense themselves. But, you know, turnovers won the game, and St. Louis has ended up scoring 14 unanswered points in the fourth quarter to win the game 27-10. So, you know, certainly a very good, a very big start for those Rams to get off to a 1-0 start. So that kind of sums up the games that have been played. I only got about 3.5 minutes left, so I'll just kind of talk to you a little bit about what I kind of see happening this season. I'll make my picks quickly for the divisions, because I do want to talk about who I see as a division, and I'll talk about the division champion as well as maybe a potential sleeper, who somebody that could be win the division. So I will certainly address that, because I think it's a good conversation to have. Looking at the different divisions, AFC North will start with. I really think that this is a three-horse race between the Steelers, Browns, and Ravens. Every year, these teams finish at the top. The Ravens usually win the division. They could be taking a step back. I think the Browns have better talent than the Ravens, so I think that puts them above them. The Steelers brought in Aaron Rodgers and Marshawn Lynch on offense, so I think they're going to take a step up. So I'm not sure who's going to win the offense right now, win the division. I'm going to go with the Browns winning the division, though, with the sleeper being the Steelers, and I think the Ravens could fall into that third spot. It might make the playoffs still, but I'm not sure if they're going to finish top. But again, stranger things have happened. Maybe the Ravens are going to bounce back and they're going to have another great season. AFC South, this is really the dumpster division. No team finished above 500 last season. Jaguars finished 7-9. So did the Titans. It's really a two-horse race. Texans are rebuilding. Colts have really been in a rebuilding stage most of the 4 years of the SFX. And when we think about this division, it's really a two-horse race, as I talked about. I really think the Titans are going to be the team that might come out on top. They're my pick to win the division, with the Jaguars finishing second. But again, the Jaguars are certainly a sleeper to kind of take the division again, but we'll have to see. We know that 7-9 is going to have to be better if whoever's going to win that division next year. AFC East, Jets, without question, I think win the division. The Bills are my sleeper because of the fact they're so talented on offense with Sammy Watkins and Colt Briscoe. But I do think it basically is a two-horse division right now. The Dolphins will be improved. Patriots has finished last, but I'm going to take the Jets again to win the division. AFC West, really between the Raiders and the Chiefs. Raiders won the division the first 2 years. Chiefs won in the last 2 years. I'm going to take the Chiefs again to win this year in the division. I just think with Peyton Manning, it only adds more fuel, more energy to that offense, and I do think it's going to make them a better offensive team to go with that really good defense. I think the Raiders will be much improved. I do think that they will make the playoffs this season, maybe as a wild card team. Maybe they can still win the division. But I do think the Raiders will be improved. They certainly got up to a nice 1-0 start the season. NFC North, got to like the Lions again. They're the best team in the division. Bears on the outside looking in, so it's really a two-horse race. But the Lions really have control of the division. I'm pretty safe for the Lions in the division. NFC South, Buccaneers easily take the division. Falcons outside looking in, might be looking for a playoff spot, but the NFC West is so competitive, so we'll have to see what happens with that. Cowboys, looking on the outside, I think they're going to end up winning the division again. I think they take it. And lastly, NFC West, Rams win the division, Seahawks on the outside looking in with the Cards. That sums up the division's picks for me. I'm out. I got 20 seconds left. I leave you with our theme music. Have a great night. I'll see you next time.